Alt Down Under. Turn this banger up. Not a pom, judging Aussie tunes. Aussie music, mate. Alternative Down Under. Alternative Down Under.
Hello guys, it's episode 26 of Alt Down Under with me, Luke Scanlon, once again back with you with another conversation with a brilliant artist that I've been looking forward to chatting to for a bloody hefty chunk of time, let me tell you. This artist came on my radar back in about April, May time this year, and ever since I've been fully hooked. I mean, if you want to have a chat about vocals, let's have a chat about Ella Thompson. If you give a little, I will take a little over my step towards you. Are we willing to change? Yes, Ella is our guest artist for this episode, episode 26. We'll be getting into all the tales of her career so far. How she has really actually shaken up her sound quite a bit. She's been around, been releasing stuff since 2018. She's been in a few different bands along the way. And yeah, it's been quite a long musical path that's led her to this point at the moment. This point being her current crop of songs, which came off last year's, quite frankly, amazing album, Ripple on the Wing. And that is the album I first came across. It's when I first discovered Ella. And pretty soon, I had her on repeat. And not too long after that, I was like, I need a chat. I need to sit down with this artist, get inside her head, find out what it is that makes her tick. And most importantly, having that classic soul sound. I was so intrigued to find out the influences behind her sound. And if, like me, she had a mum who, growing up, had soul music playing all of the time. It's a beautiful chat. Plus, we get some news on upcoming live dates and, as well, a third album. Ella has been in the studio. It's all go, man. It's another big episode of All Down Under.
Alternative Down Under.
We'll get into that chat real bloody soon, but just wanted to touch on last episode once again, the chat I had with the boys from Play Lunch. Such a fun conversation, honestly. I just just sat here with a stupid little smile on my face, baby. But honestly, so nice to chat to those guys and hear the story behind Keith, the music video. I actually put a little clip up on our Instagram, if you want to check it out, haven't seen it already, about how they managed to get AFL Hall of Famer Barry Hall into the video. The fact that a man called Barry Hall is in a Hall of Fame, it's just a Barry of fame. Good one, Scans, good joke. And elsewhere, how the guys told me about putting together that second record, Sex Ed, which came out in August. I think it was the 22nd of August, off the top of my head, that one came out. But yeah, I'm releasing this episode today, the 18th of August, 2025, and I'm actually seeing them at 170 Russell in Melbourne tomorrow, so I'm very much looking forward to it. I have actually been on the hunt for a bald cap to wear to dress up as Keith. I've got some pretty sexy sports sunglasses, which I could wear as well as part of the look, and I could dig a little vest out. Or a singlet, sorry, for all the Aussies. But yeah, bald cap, strangely hard to come by. So I'm going to have a little hunt again today and tomorrow and see if I can get one. But yeah, I'll report back on that gig and very much looking forward to it. Okay, here it is. Here is my chat with our artist in residence for episode 26 of Alt Down Under. The superb, insanely gifted Ella Thompson. Ella Thompson, welcome to Alt Down Under. Thank you very much for joining the show.
Thanks for having me.
I'm excited to have you. The first port of call in this interview is I have to say thank you, because I have to admit, I don't have any shame in admitting this, but I was a little bit late to the party in terms of discovering your music. I discovered you probably around April time, and ever since then, I've had you on repeat, and B, you've very much been my hangover cure a lot of the time. So I just wanted to say thank you.
There you go. Well, it's never too late.
Absolutely not. So, yeah, it's been great. just becoming a fan, I think. Because a lot of the time I do these interviews, like sometimes I just get sent emails from like PR companies or record labels and stuff. And they're like, hey, do you want to check this band out? It's actually quite nice doing it as a genuine fan. And not that I'm not a fan of those bands, but, you know, like actually building up and then getting to the point where I'm like, I need to chat to this person.
Oh, that's lovely. I'm on it.
Just wanted to rewind the clock a little bit, if that's cool with you.
Please.
Because going back over your stuff, I'm sure you've got a shit ton of tunes that aren't even out there in the big bad world anyway. Yeah. But just going back and looking over your stuff, like back to 2018 with tracks like Hysteria. I know you did an EP with that title as well. Stylistically, you've been quite different over the years and you've arrived at quite an old school soul sound, which I'm very much coming onto as well. But tell me about where you were at that point with your music and if now you feel like you're more at a spot that is kind of speaks for you in a truer sense.
Yeah, definitely. I think like 2018, I'm trying to think back, I was definitely experimenting with electronic music because I was in a band called GL, which is like a boogie disco kind of electronic group with my friend Graham. And then I wanted to write my own stuff and sort of try and produce music with the skills that I had. And yeah, that's what I kind of ended up writing. But this music that I'm making now is really like the music that I grew up playing and learning and feels like very much like a coming home to, you know, what I've always wanted to do, but maybe just, you know, you got to spend some time out in the wilderness. Yeah. For me, I don't know. I like grew up playing soul music in bands and I don't know, like went to school with the Teskey brothers. Like we were in our high school bands.
No way.
Primary school
bands. That's so cool.
Yeah. So like it's always been there, but I'm just like fascinated by music, you know, learning about different types of music, and it's just a constant discovery, I guess, and like, yeah, wanting to learn how to produce my own music. But then I kind of found that process to be a little bit insular, you know. It was sort of for me, okay, it was like, yeah, I can prove to everyone that I know how to do everything. But then really what I've found the most enjoyable in the last couple of years is like playing with a band in a room and like collaborating, you know, with Roland Music Library and with Liam and some of the guys from Surprise Chef. It's like that's what feels most natural to me, and I guess, yeah, where I feel most at home and not necessarily having to do everything, every part of the process, but also it just feels a lot more collaborative and fun, I guess. Like you can share the process along the way. And then you're all excited, you know. It's like when release day comes, it's everybody's input that has made it what it is. So, yeah, it's like I guess especially doing things as a solo artist coming out of playing in lots of bands, I found that kind of daunting because it's like,
yeah, all, big step.
All the mistakes, or you know, it's all on me. I'm the boss that ticks off at the end of, you know, the process. So it's awesome. It's cool. It's what I wanted to do, but also like, yeah, being able to share that process is also really nice too.
Yeah, unreal. I think it is interesting going through and listening to your stuff, and it's really cool to hear as well that you have got that kind of collaborative approach to your solo work. And just for the record, you were using inverted commas saying solo on my own, just to clarify that to everyone. But yeah, also Surprise Chef, what group they are, by the way. Yeah. I still need to see them live as well. I also wanted to give a little shout out to your drummer because your drum is great.
Yeah, she's awesome. That's Alex Roper on the record.
Yeah, so good. Because I've been listening to you, obviously, just like online streaming your stuff, but I've been watching the Hope Street recordings as well, the videos. Yeah. They're wicked. I was going to ask you about that because, like, I know obviously you've just explained there you've got the collaborative approach with the band around you being part of that creative process. But when it's you front and center, your name on the bill, as it were, Do you feel nervous like having your voice, because it is such a big part of your music, your voice, and you've got an unbelievable voice as well. But do you ever feel really nervous going, oh shit, that's the main part to this?
Yeah, totally. I think like in a lot of my earlier recordings, I tried to really bury my voice, like drown it in reverb and kind of hide what I was trying to say or something. But I guess I'm just becoming more confident in a good way.
Yeah, girl.
Working with great people that are like, you know, Henry Jenkins, who I recorded the vocals with. It's just like letting go of a lot of perfectionism, I think, has been one of the great lessons that working with these guys has taught me. You know, it's like the more you do it, there's going to be flaws, there's going to be bits and bobs, and like the more records I make under my own name and I'm okay with those parts of the voice that crack or are like slightly out of tune, because it doesn't really matter. For me, like my writing and the lyrics, I feel more than ever I want to be heard. I want them to be you know, I want that story to carry and to translate, and I want it to be direct. I don't want people to have to like wade through the layers to try and get to the message. So, you know, if I'm thinking more of it as like I'm just trying to carry that feeling or that message, it's not, you know, it's not too much just like I'm Ella Thompson, but I'm carrying
with jazz hands. Amazing. I honestly find it fascinating hearing about that journey. And as I said, like, it's hearing about how you got to where you are with your sound now is really cool. Because I think you've had obviously the two albums now, Domino and then Ripple on the Wing. I think even on Domino, you could hear that soul stuff was there, but then you've obviously brought it in like fully on the latter album.
Yeah.
I also wanted to ask you about the influence, because just doing a bit of reading about you before the interview, the influence of Rene Geyer as well. So just tell us a bit about that. And I also wanted to ask as well, because one of the main reasons I was excited to chat to you about, because my music taste is very much based on my parents. So I've got like The Clash and The Jam and The Sex Pistols from my dad. And then mum is like Marvin Gaye, Al Green, all of the old soul and Motown stuff. So did you have that in your house growing up as well?
Yeah, definitely. Like my parents listened to jazz and they named me after Ella Fitzgerald and had, you know, Sarah Vaughan and, you know, all those jazz greats were like always playing in the house, and then Rene Geyer as well. And yeah, I think going back to what I was saying before about, you know, having to try all the music out, because you kind of like, I went through a stage where I was like, I want to make music that my parents don't like. I'm going to make beats.
Fuck you, mum and dad.
And they're like, oh, the great beats you've made.
Yeah, yeah. Nice.
Like, yeah.
You're fooling no one, man. You're fooling no one.
Anyway, this is silly, really, because I've obviously, have been connected to that music since I was a kid, and it really resonated with me. And growing up, like the other kids at school that I would play with, like we would all learn like Etta James songs and Rene Geyer songs, and they were the songs that we played in our primary school band. So it's always been there. And now I think that my music taste is maybe like superseded my parents. I'm like, listen to this record, you've never heard this.
I quite like that. That's like passing the baton. You've become like the supercharged version of your parents, which is what it's all about, you know, surely.
They introduced me to the greats, and then through like listening to PBS and all those DJs, like then you discover the true gems. And sitting with Rene Geyer and like listening to her records for hours at her house, like that was, I had lessons with her when I was 15 or 16, and like just going over to her house and like listening to her records. And she would always say like, yes, we all love Aretha Franklin, but she's the greatest, but we have to put her here and just let her be. You know, she's just can't even put into words what Aretha is, but there's all this other music, you know, to be discovered. And that's what keeps me going, is the discovering of new music, of, you know, finding the gems.
Absolutely. It's quite like ironic that you say about discovering those gems. I actually can't even remember how the hell I discovered you, to be honest. Ella. I literally have no idea. I'm obviously very glad that I did, but that was the same thing. It was One More Step was the first track that I heard. And I was like, genuinely, like, I'm not even just saying this to blow smoke up your ass, but I was like, genuinely, like, was like, whoa, hello, what's this? This is unbelievable. I honestly think, for want of better words, think that song's a fucking masterpiece. Honestly, I absolutely just unbelievable song. And it's definitely gonna, I always get a bit obsessed with what might end up on my Spotify raps at the end of the year. And that's definitely gonna be up there. If you get an email, be like, there's some real weird dude in Fitzroy who's been listening to your track about a million times.
That might well be me. So
just
so
a little
much.
Heads up on that. But I was going to ask you about kind of like your contemporaries within the soul space, if you like. And I want to ask, what artist you're listening to, because there's some great acts around at the moment. Like, I've been listening to like Darren Jones for quite a few years now, the Altons, who else, the Sacred Souls, who I think you've supported actually, all these amazing acts. And then I was gonna ask if you knew Joy Crooks as well. She's from the UK, but
so good,
all over her stuff at the moment, and I have been for a few years. But it feels like a really like good time for modern soul.
Absolutely. I guess, you know, there's, the Sacred Souls, like their songwriting, I love them. And Jalen Ngonda, who we were lucky to tour with it in the year. It was just amazing experience. And Lady Ray, lots of the Big Crown music and Daptone music and Coal Mine music and Mr. Bongo music. There's lots of, I'm really happy that soul music is being loved at the moment. I think, like, you know, when it has gone in waves, like when we were at uni, it was Sasquatch were doing every Thursday night at Cherry Bar. That was a big time, 2011, for soul music. When I was in the Bamboos, that was a big time for soul music. And it's just like, it makes me realize I just want to stick at, you know, things go in and out of trend or whatever, but I just want to, you know, keep doing the thing that I've come home to now and refine that.
I think that's the thing about soul though, because like, as with your music and some of those artists that I mentioned, like, they've all got a newer version of soul, but it still harks back to that original thing. And I think it's one genre of music, particularly for me, like, as I mentioned, like, just family growing up and stuff, it's just got that sentimental value to it, I think, soul. And it makes you feel like when you're listening to it, you're living in a different era, I think. I think that's the nice thing. It's got that reminiscent sound to it.
Yeah, totally. And like, there's so much more to discover. Like, I've listened to a lot of Smokey Robinson when I was a kid, but now I'm like really getting into Smokey Robinson and like, there's always, you know, the Shangri-Las, that was something that I listened to when I was 20 years old. But now I'm like, I've just read this book about the Shangri-Las and like, realized there's so many layers to things. And like, it's eternal music, classic music, that there's always more to discover, even from the same artists.
Absolutely. I even like all like kind of, some artists that people like, the Chi Lights from like way back. And then there's a track, I don't know if you know it, that I grew up with, and I kind of find it funny to listen to, but I actually do really like the track, which is Float On by the Floaters.
I don't know it. I'll have to listen to it.
I'll send you a link to it after we chat. And I'm pretty sure it's 70s, but it's a bit kind of like tongue in cheek soul, but it's still got that like real, I don't know, nice innocence to it from that kind of era. So I did want to ask you about your upcoming live shows as well. What can you tell us?
Yeah, well, I'm doing my first national headline tour, which is cool. Playing in Sydney and Brisbane and Ballingen and a few other spots around in November, and also doing the Melbourne Jazz Festival in October, playing at the Northcote Theatre in a week or so with Milo.
25th of September, I believe, that one. How does it feel to be kind of get back out there and doing live shows again?
I love it.
So I think you, I saw you, have you been, I saw on your socials you've been rehearsing or recording recently as well.
Yeah, I've been making a new record. So that's sort of, yeah. It's really fun. I'm, you know, getting some mixes back now and yeah, I'm really happy with it. Sounding really great. And we recorded it in Castlemaine at this sort of tape studio and just having all the band in this one room and recording live. It's really fun.
Hell yeah, that's cool. Have you recorded live in the past on your previous records?
Yeah, the last record was pretty live, but this one is as well. This is the first record I've done to tape. Yeah, I just feel like the more, you know, when I make a record, I'm like, oh, I want to do that a little different next time or work out how to refine the process or, yeah, maybe write more direct songs. So feeling good about this record, yeah.
Yeah, nice. I can imagine as well, like you said earlier, about having the band around you and helping with the overall creative process. I bet it's quite nice because I know, I mean, I can't play a fucking thing for love nor money, but I know what I would be like if I was creating a record. I'd be very like overthinking everything and like really dialing down on the most minute of details. Is it quite nice to have the guys around you to kind of avoid situations like that and to kind of validate the records that you're recording?
Yeah, absolutely. Like they give me so much energy, like, you know, Hudson, Stucky, so many, they're just so positive, not always positive. Like they'll say when things are good or bad, but like they care a lot and they have a lot of energy and that I think is, we all just want to do it well. And like had some, you know, we had one song that had this little harpsichord part and Hudson brought in his entire harpsichord, like you know, just for that one little bit. And they just go above and beyond to get it right. And, but not right when it matters, you know, like, It's more about like capturing a feeling in the room rather than it being, we're not moving around squares. It's just like, how did that feel? Everyone felt good about that one. Well, let's not overthink it. That was the take.
Yeah, I'm real. Love to hear it. I also need to come see, I haven't seen you live yet, Ella, so I need to come down. I'm going to try and come down to the 25th September show. So hopefully I'll see you there. I'll be there front row.
See you there.
Don't you worry about it. cool. Well, Ella, if you're ready, we'll create your dream gig venue.
Sounds good.
I'll have 2 pints, please. Fuck, I love this bed. Get us a couple of frothies, mate. Yeah, boy, yeah. Where are you going to have your dream gig, mate? The dream gig venue. Step this way.
All right, Ella Thompson, your dream gig venue. Can you please tell me the made-up, ridiculous name that you would like to give your dream gig venue?
Forever Palace.
Okay, why that name?
I don't know. I just thought of it. I was thinking about red velvet curtains.
Fair. Love your work. Okay. Fair play. Good times. Okay, this one I'm actually quite excited by because I love your dress sense. I'm like, the bigger the collar, the better. So
Thank you. Thank you so much.
Which dress code would you like at your dream gig venue?
Mod.
That was a big celebration for me. Oh, couldn't be happy with that. Thank you very much. I knew I'd be happy with getting you on the show. Mod fashion is what it's all about, man. Although I've always said this, right? I had like, even back at school, I had a parka. I was obsessed with like Quadrophenia and all that stuff. It is quite, I love it, this dress sense, but it's not a cheap dress sense. If you want the...
You must have a tailor. Every audience member must have a tailor.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I love it. I love all the old stuff, but it's, yeah, you need a, either have a good bank account or be really good at sifting through like thrift stores and doing it that way.
Yes.
So where do you normally source your stuff from?
Well, funny you should say. No, I love vintage stuff. There's a big vintage bazaar near where I work in Monash. Cool. And I like to go there on my lunch break.
Unreal. Yeah.
And I found the most exquisite leather jacket. You know, so I pick up little things from vintage stores. And then also I have a really nice friend, Avril, who is she works for a fashion designer, but she also makes her own, all of her own clothes.
Oh, very cool.
And so she's been making me these outfits, which, you know, with the big collars and stuff like that, which is, first of all, I bought the OG big collar shirt at Goodbye's secondhand store. I saw it in the window. I've always wanted a shirt like that. And then, and that really set me off with Avril, and Avril's so clever. And now we have a pattern and then can just change the fabric.
Great.
And the collar size. Yeah, it's so nice. I'm lucky to have lots of creative friends, you know? Yeah.
Okay, that brings us on to what free drink and free food would you like at your venue?
I'm going to say margarita.
Perfect. Spicy or no spice?
Spicy. Spicy margs in the Forever Palace.
Perfect. And what food?
Incy wincy egg sandwiches.
Specifically incy wincy.
Yeah, you know, the tiny little ones. Let's say egg and cucumber sandwiches as well.
Right, okay. You know, I have to admit, the triangle shape that you made, I thought you were going to whisper incy wincy again, not just, I didn't realize that was a diagram for the sandwich. I thought you'd be like, incy wincy.
Incy wincy sandwich.
Okay, next up, I know this is going to be good. Dead or Alive, support act. You're the main artist on the bill.
Oh, it's a, you know, it's a bit, you don't want the support act to like.
That, look, this is the dream gig venue, so you're, no one's above you. So you could definitely.
I'm not going to book a wreath if anyone.
You could be like, oi, Smokey, you're second on the bill, son.
I'd say Karate Boogaloo. That's my dream.
Awesome. Okay. Love that. This is a great gig venue, by the way. And finally, Ella, can you tell me who you would like running your front door security? This could be anyone famous. Could be Avril with a sewing machine at the ready to sew people into handcuffs.
Ooh, let me just think about this a second. I'm going to say Stanley Tucci.
That's amazing. That's a great shout. I could see him being quite angry, actually, you know. I reckon he's got a bit of a streak in him.
Nah, well, I mean, who knows what happens when the camera goes off, really.
Exactly. You've heard it here first. Tucci's a badass. I'm real. Well, that is your dream gig venue. Yeah. Thanks so much for building it.
Now I want to go. I want to go to this place.
Sign me up. I want to get my own clothes made and go down there for a boogie with the spicy marks.
Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. Don't get too pissed because Stanley Tucci will be kicking me out. Thanks so much, Ed. I really appreciate your time.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Alternative Down Under.
Ella, thank you so much for such a beautiful chat. I just loved everything about that conversation. And beforehand, I was getting giddy, like putting my notes together, just giddy about the thought of just chatting to someone about soul. And I know a fair amount about it, but as you could tell in that conversation, Ella is very much a master and, let's be honest, a bit of a dork when it comes to soul music. I absolutely love it. And the fact she's named after Ella Fitzgerald as well, so cool. Apparently I'm named after Luke Kelly, the frontman for the Dubliners, big Irish band from back in the day. So there you go, but not quite as cool as Ella Fitzgerald, I don't think. Thanks again for sticking around for another episode. Do go and check out Ella's socials, look her up online, get some tickets to those upcoming gigs. I'm so excited to go see her to get you in the mood, to whet your appetite, wet your whistle, get your doll in. I'm trying to think of other ones. Anyway, go onto YouTube and check out those Hope Street Record recordings that I mentioned in the interview. So good, honestly. It's just genuinely no difference between Ella live and on record. I know she said in the chat that she records live as well, but I think even sometimes when a record is recorded live, it doesn't still translate to when you listen to the track being performed as live as well. But yeah, wow, zero difference between Ella and her live and recorded performances, What a talent, man. Honestly, that's about time for episode 26. Going to wrap things up there. We'll be back again, of course, with another interview within the next couple of weeks. All right, guys, take it easy. And toodle pip.